opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is another very special edition of Rico Bronya. This time, our Rico Bronya is from France, but it's from a place called Ez France, E-Z-E. And we're recording this, Rico Bronya, soon after the Mets got swept of their doubleheader by the Baltimore Orioles. My time is 2 o'clock in the morning. Back in New York, it's a much more reasonable time. But yeah, it's been quite an experience. I will let you know that when I watch the New York Mets play in France, their record is 1-3. When I watch the Mets play in Spain, they're 1-0. I'll give you a quick synopsis of the trip, then we'll talk about these games. And I can't guarantee this is going to be a long Rico Bronya because I have set myself up by a pool at this hotel that we're staying at in Ez because I didn't want to wake everybody up. I still may be waking people up. Who the hell knows? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, so if a French person runs over to me and starts cursing in a language you don't understand, that's probably what's going on. I'm waking everybody up. But that is to get you a Rico Bronya, even if it's abbreviated. But we spent a couple of days in Paris, took a plane to Barcelona, Spain, and we drove earlier this morning, or yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago. I get days confused, from Barcelona, Spain to Ez, France. So back up to France, but this is the French Riviera, which we will spend a day or two at. And when the Mets got rained out the other night, I was actually thrilled. Because the game was supposed to be my time at 2 o'clock in the morning. So my plan was to wake up, watch the game at about 4 or 5, and then hit the road. Game gets rained out. Fantastic. It turns into a doubleheader in which a 12 o'clock game is a 6 o'clock game, which is much more reasonable. And the 5 o'clock game is an 11 o'clock game, which is much more reasonable. So even though, yes, it is 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a lot better than what it could have been. Now, what is disheartening about what happened in this doubleheader is game one of this series against the Orioles was pound for pound one of the best wins of the season. I mean, when you think about the way they came back, the fight that they showed, the offensive explosion from the top guys, Steve Cohen now calling them the Fab Four. I think we need to retire that name. If you're going to call them anything, call them like the Flushing Four. I wouldn't be ripping off, you know, a college basketball team from 30 years ago. So that's just me, not that I want to waste that much time on it. But that was such a great win, such an awesome win. And what they proceeded to do in these two games, one bad day, but these two games against the Orioles, is basically wipe it away. Wipe it away with a bad bullpen effort from Ryan Stanek, from Carlos Mendoza, really, to me, pressing all the wrong buttons, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes. But more than that, this offense did nothing in these two games. They had plenty of scoring opportunities. They went an ungodly 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position in game one. And then even game two, they jump out to the early 2-0 lead. And what'd they do after that? They did nothing. And so you really got to see all the concerns of this Met team that we had during the losing stretch. in this doubleheader against Baltimore. Inability to get a big hit, a questionable managerial decision by Carlos Mendoza, and then relying on guys who aren't going to be here in a week. I made a big deal about that in our last Rico episode 510 when we talked about the Subway Series against the Yankees and how in that Sunday game and even in that Friday game, they relied on so many pitchers that aren't going to be on the team in a week. Well, it hasn't been a full week yet. But again, you're relying on Brandon Waddell. You're relying on Justin Hagenman. You're relying on Dickie Lovelady. It's pissing me off mostly because David Stearns is wasting good young pitching in the minor leagues that could be getting the opportunity. I mean, you're telling me this bullpen game is a better option than seeing if Nolan McLean could pitch in the major leagues? Like, are we serious? I think that is a very fair criticism at the feet of David Stearns. I know David has only been here for a year plus, and he's mostly done a pretty good job. And I think he's earned the trust of us as Met fans to say, David knows what he's doing. But you got to explain to me how three times in the last 6 days, they've decided that the best strategy for a bullpen that is A, not that good, B, completely overworked, is let's have three bullpen days. I mean, how is that a better idea than taking just one of your young pitchers that you believe in and giving them a chance to, actually start a game? But you know what? Let's go back to the beginning of this series. Let's start with the positive, because game one was pound for pound one of the best wins of the season. I think the emotional kind of turns we got, you know, Clay Holmes goes out and throws just a hell of a game. I mean, Clay Holmes threw five innings, put together another one of those performances where he makes the big pitch when he needs to. His command isn't perfect. He's putting guys on base. But at the end of the day, what Clay had done so well all year long, and it continued in the first five innings, is always making the big pitch when he needed to. And the Met offense did nothing outside of the home run by Ronnie Mauricio and the RBI double by Brandon Nimmo. I mean, outside of that, they couldn't figure out Brandon Young, of all people. They made Brandon Young look like Cy Young for about five innings. The issue was what happened to Clay in the sixth. And I think the issue that we need to discuss is how much of this is on Carlos Mendoza pushing Clay more than he should be pushed? How much of this is on Clay Holmes just being one of those starting pitchers that you kind of have to have the early trigger on? Who do you put the blame on? And as I was watching that sixth inning unfold, I kind of put that blame on Carlos, because Clay Holmes, in the experiment that the Mets are doing, in which he's now made 18 starts, the early returns on the experiment is he's not a guy who's going to go deep into games. And there isn't like a consistent reason for it. Like, for example, third time around the batting order. It's not as if he implodes all the time third time around the batting order. It's not as if there's a certain number on pitch count that causes him to implode. For whatever reason, and it could be mental, he is proving to be a five-inning pitcher. And what's kind of crazy is when they initially signed him and announced, hey, we're going to make him a starting pitcher, I don't think any of us would have been that pissed off about him being a solid five-inning pitcher. Because if the front of the rotation is good enough, you can live with a fourth starter or a fifth starter that goes five innings. I think because of the situation the Mets are in, where they don't get a lot of innings out of their starters, we're asking for more from Clay Holmes than maybe he actually is. But you go to the sixth inning of this game, in which you're nursing a 2-1 lead. I certainly didn't sit there after they scored those two runs in the sixth inning and thought that was going to be enough. Like, in my mind, it was a nice starting point to erase the 1-0 deficit. Thank God they weren't going to be completely shut down by Brandon Young. But it felt like they were going to need more runs. And think about it. In that sixth inning, when they went up 2-1, and this really became kind of a sign of things to come in Game 2 and Game 3, they missed opportunities. I mean, think about it. After Brandon Nimmo hit the RBI double that gave them the lead, he's standing there on second base, and they couldn't get him in. We end up seeing Mark Vientos coming into that game for Jesse Winker, who left after two at-bats with this back issue, and he's probably going on the injured list. He's already back in New York getting tests, so you could forget Jesse Winker for a while. At least that's the way it feels. And Vientos had this big moment to break the game open. He failed. And really, so did Juan Soto. He hit the ball right on a line, but he failed, hitting the ball right at the right fielder. And you kind of felt, okay, this is a missed opportunity, and they're going to need more runs to win this game, which turned out to be the case. But I think when Holmes, going into that sixth inning, when he hits Jackson Holliday ahead of the count 0-2, I'm on alert. I don't care what his pitch count is. I think sometimes we go too much, good and bad, with pitch count. I'm on alert because I've seen Clay Holmes kind of lose it and unravel. So when he hits Jackson Holliday ahead 0-2, I'm on alert. When he gives up a base hit to Jordan Westberg, I'm on major alert. Am I leaving him in to face Gunnar Henderson, who gets a base hit? Probably not. Am I leaving him in to give up a two-run double ahead of the count on Ryan Hearn? Definitely not. And am I leaving in the game further to watch Ramon Laureano rip a two-run base hit?
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No. So I think that's where Mendy made the mistake. I wouldn't have pulled him after five. And I'm not even saying I would have pulled him after he hit Holliday with an 0-2 pitch. But I think once there's a second base runner and a third base runner and a fourth base runner, maybe that's the moment to pull Clay Holmes. I think the issue that Mendy runs into, and this goes back to a Stearns issue, is not a great bullpen. And I get that. But I also think you've got to start to learn the starters in your rotation. You got to learn them. And I think what kind of bothered me more about the way he handled Clay in game one is you jump 2 days later to the more recent game, the David Peterson game, and we'll spend more time on that decision. He had the bullpen ready to pounce from the sixth inning on with David Peterson, who was in complete control and has gone deep into games. And yet with Clay Holmes, he was willing to be as patient as he was, allowing him to put one, two, three, four, five base runners in a row on base? And the only reason this didn't turn out to be a bigger deal is because they came back. Because they pulled off this awesome 6-2 down in the eighth inning comeback in which we saw the explosiveness of the Flushing Four. I'm not calling them the Fab Four. I'm not calling them the Core Four like the Yankees. If anything, if you want to give these guys a nickname, if that's what we want to do, it's the Flushing Four. I don't even know why this is a thing. Like, well, why would it be anything but the Flushing Four? They play in Flushing. They play in Queens. Like, that's it. You don't have to rip off Michigan. You don't have to rip off the Yankees. They're the Flushing Four. I think the biggest problem with the Flushing Four is the rest of the five suck. So what do we call the other five? Not that we want to say Jeff McNeil sucks. I guess you've got the Flushing Four. And maybe you want to make it the Flushing Five if you want to include Jeff McNeil in this. But the other four, what are they? The Rotten Four? The Rotten Core Four? The rest of the four guys in the lineup? But that was explosive, and that was really cool to watch. Lindor hit a home run, which got him back in the game, to watch Pete go opposite field. There's nothing better than watching Pete, reminds me of Piazza back in the day, going opposite field and just destroying a baseball the way he did. It was a great comeback, and they had to seal it. You know, it's great that they came back, and they had to seal it. And credit to Reed Garrett, who pitched the scoreless inning, to Edwin Diaz, who pitched a brilliant ninth inning, and then obviously to Juan Soto, because in that 10th inning with a runner on second and nobody out, we've seen this so many times, you got to at the bare minimum move that runner. But if you can drive in that run on the very first pitch, that's a win. But again, Soto comes through with the game-leading hit. You need more. You can't just get the one run. And after Pete got the base hit, what I really hated, I genuinely hated it, again, a very underrated moment because they won the game, was Mendy telegraphing the bunt by pinch hitting for Mark Vientos, granted he's struggling, with Travis Jankowski, who a day later was going to be sent away. That's his one at bat. To send him up to pinch hit makes it such an obvious bunt, and even though he got the bunt down, I don't like the bunt. And I'm not anti-bunt. There have been situations, whether it's Yankee games, talking about it on WFAN or here on the Rico, where I am pro-bunt. But the reason why that bunt made no sense is pretty much exactly the way it transpired. If you bunt with Travis Jankowski and you get it down, you're not facing Jeff McNeil with second and third one out. Why would you? Especially when the next two batters are Luis Torrens and Ronnie Mauricio. No offense to Ronnie Mauricio, but you see an avenue if you're the Orioles on how you get out of this inning. And they pounced on it. I mean, they took advantage of it with Torrens striking out and then Mauricio lining out. So before Brazoban did the great job that he did, pitching a nice, clean 1-2-3 inning against the heart of the order, we got to go back to that decision by Mendy. I hated it. I thought Mendy managed actually mostly a terrible game in the great comeback. You could also argue Edwin Diaz should have come back out for the 10th inning. Again, if it doesn't work, if Brazoban doesn't, if we don't get good Waskar, because sometimes we get bad Waskar, if we don't get good Waskar, we're crushing the idea that Edwin Diaz barely broke a sweat. Heart of the order's coming up. Go get three outs and get a victory. I think he did a lot of things wrong in this game, but he got away with it. And it was a great win. It was a fantastic win. But I'm worried that win, at least for 48 hours, clouded that while this team is winning games and they've righted the ship to a degree, like the storm clouds have gone away for the most part, the team still has issues. And those issues are being exposed. You go to this doubleheader, I mean, the lack of clutch hitting was exposed right from jump. You got second and third and nobody out to start the freaking game, and Juan Soto's striking out. Pete Alonso is striking out. Jesse Winker is popping up. It has been a problem all year. It goes away briefly, and then it comes back like a disease, this team's inability to get big hits. And you could just feel not taking advantage of that first inning opportunity was going to come back and kill him. But I'm going to tell you the moment in this game that actually pissed me off the most. And of course, I'm talking about game one of the doubleheader that they ended up losing by a final score of 3-1. And we'll get to the decision to take David Peterson out. But what really killed me was Tyrone Taylor comes through. Well, what a shock. He's been pretty abysmal offensively now for a while. And Tyrone Taylor comes up after the Brett Beatty leadoff walk and the stolen base, and he rips an RBI double. Fantastic. Mets have a 1-0 lead. They finally break through against Charlie Morton. But you know they need more. Like, they're not winning this game 1-0 as good as David Peterson was. And Tyrone Taylor, on a comeback or off the bat of Brandon Nimmo, and not even like a hard comeback or a little tapper in front of the mound, he doesn't advance to third. How? This was the biggest F-up in this game. Even bigger than Mendy. Because we'll get to the Mendy-Peterson stuff. There's back and forth. There's strategic moves and reasons why you make these moves, as much as I disagree with them. How Tyrone Taylor, who is a professional baseball player, does not get to third base on that little tapper by Brandon Nimmo in the fifth inning was a death sentence. Death sentence. Because Lindor, what does he do? He flies out to left field. That should score a run. It should be 2-0. And instead, Tyrone Taylor is standing on second base. They pitch around Soto. I know Pete doesn't come through, and Pete's come through a lot this season. He did not in the last two games in this doubleheader, and kill him all you want for it. But if Tyrone Taylor's on third base, there's a really good chance the Mets manufacture that run, and it's 2-0. Instead, it's 1-0. So very underrated moment, but Tyrone Taylor having his head up his ass, and you can't do that if you're him. Thank you for the RBI double. Thank you for supplying the only offense of the game. But the guy hasn't hit. You better be great defensively, and you better be smart running the bases. And he wasn't. Now let's get to the Peterson stuff. Brilliant performance by David Peterson. Congratulations to David for making the All-Star team, as he's a last-second replacement for Robbie Ray, who's hurt. And Peterson deserves it. So kudos to David Peterson, and I think he has calmed the seas after the two bad starts. The bad start against the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball, the bad start against the Pirates. So you definitely have to feel good about David Peterson. I was surprised, as I mentioned earlier, that Mendy had the bullpen up early with him, almost waiting for him to get into trouble. And he had the big pickoff in the sixth inning, had a very easy 1-2-3 seventh inning against the heart of the order. So now you're in the eighth inning with a 1-0 lead. And I've got so many freaking issues with Mendy's decision-making. Number one, you know, with the bottom of the order in Baltimore, with Mullins, Henderson, and O'Hearn on the bench, you know, as soon as you take Peterson out and go to a righty, they're going to go to basically their best hitters who are sitting there on the bench. You have to take that into account if you're going to take David Peterson out. If this is the heart of the batting order, maybe a little bit different. But even then, those lefty bats are probably going to be used. They'll pinch hit for Laureano and O'Neill in your
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original slab pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Rias. So I think what you have to do if you're Mendy is it's almost like, all right, I got to decide how much faith do I have in Peterson where I keep the favorable matchup. Yes, it's against righties, but it's against righties that are not nearly as good a hitters as Henderson and O'Hearn, more so than Cedric Mullins, who kills the Mets, but yeah, we'll get to that at a later date. When he gives up the leadoff base hit to Colton Cowser, you have to know, if I'm taking him out and going to a righty, and your only lefties are Lovelady and Waddell, and I'm not suggesting you go to either of them. Obviously, Waddell was all lined up to start game two, and Dickie Lovelady stinks, so we've got that. You got to decide, am I okay going to a righty in which they're going to cue up their big lefty bats, or do I push Peterson a little bit more? Now, I think there are two options, and Mendy took the third one that's not even an option. He went to Ryan Stanek. Ryan Stanek, who is a roller coaster ride, is not the guy I'm going to against Henderson and O'Hearn. Where's Reed Garrett? I mean, Reed Garrett is sort of back in the circle of trust. Like, he goes back and forth with him. But he pitched well 2 days earlier. Remember, the Mets just had a rainout. They had an off day. And then, yes, they've got the doubleheader, but you're trying to win game one. And then you've got three games. And then you got the All-Star break. And Reed Garrett didn't pitch on Sunday, if memory serves correct. So he went out and pitched the great six outs 2 days earlier than that. But he hasn't pitched that much. He's available. And I think I speak for everybody when I say, as much as Reed's had his up and down moments, I trust him in that scenario more than I trust Ryan Stanek. But then the other option, and this is the one I think the majority agrees with, is push Peterson a little bit more. First of all, either dare Luis Vasquez to actually hit or Colby Mayo to actually hit, or trust David Peterson against the lefty bats if they're going to go to the lefty bats. I would have given Peterson another hitter. I'm not saying I would have kept him in the entire inning, but I don't think a leadoff hit after he had just retired five in a row was enough to pull him. And I think if you're Mendy, you got to know the matchups. And his answer after the game stunk too. I mean, his answer was basically to say, well, we didn't hit and our bullpen didn't pitch well. Yeah, no shit. We get that, bro. We know the other things didn't work, but you had control of who was on the mound. And you decided to take Peterson out. And it's a bad move. And it's an even worse move when you go to Ryan Stanek. And alert to David Stearns, who has no interest in using any of his young starting pitchers. Instead, he's in love with bullpen games. You're going to need to add a bullpen arm or two. You really are. Because even with Manaea and Senga on their way back this weekend, there's no guarantee they're going to stay back. No guarantee. As far as the second game of the doubleheader is concerned, you know, what is there to say other than The offense continued to do its thing where they can't get the big hit. They get the two runs early, which was nice. RBI ground out by Soto, sack fly by Pete. But after that, they miss out on opportunities. And what was really disappointing about game two of the doubleheader, I got to tell you, is Mark Vientos. Because Vientos had some good at-bats. He had the double in game one of the doubleheader. And even in the second inning of game two, he had the 10-pitch at-bat rounds out. And I'm like, all right. I think Mark's figuring it out. I think Vientos is close. Then he comes up with two on and one out, strikes out on three pitches in the fourth inning. Then he comes up in the sixth inning, swings at the first pitch, grounds out, and then he strikes out on three or four pitches in the ninth inning. So I thought Vientos was making progress and then kind of went backwards at the end of game two. And then it's just, listen, you're trusting Brandon Waddell, Justin Hagenman, Richard Lovelady, and Rico Garcia. And Rico's pitched well. I think Rico is earning, like, sticking around. But the rest of them, I mean, it is sort of embarrassing that a team with top 100 starting pitching prospects, including a guy in Nolan McLean who's pitching so well at AAA, I'm not even going to bring up, my brain is frying the kid in AA. I'm not even going to bring him up because he's probably not ready and you don't want to completely rush him. But you're sitting there with good young pitchers in the minor leagues and instead you're throwing Waddell, Hagenman, and Lovelady. That crap's got to stop. And it should stop with the return of Manaea and the return of Senga, but you got to keep them healthy. And remember, Senga needs a sixth starter. So, you know, as of right now, you can have Peterson, Montas, Holmes, Manaea, and Senga. You still need a sixth guy. And who knows? Maybe David Stern says, oh, yeah, my sixth guy is going to continue to be bullpen games, which is a terrible idea. Anyhow, let's pick a Rico star of the series. I kind of want to give it to Peterson, even though they lost the game that he pitched so well in, because he continues to be the one starting pitcher that goes deep into games. The one bat I would also consider is Brandon Nimmo, who had hits in every single game, including what was the game-leading double in game one before they blew the lead. And then he began that rally, that ferocious eighth-inning rally with a base hit, had a hit in game two, had two hits in game three, was 5-for-13 in this series. Juan Soto was great in game one. I mean, think about it, gets the game-winning hit in the 10th inning, had three hits, but he did nothing after that. Absolutely nothing. And he almost embarrassed himself with that ground ball to second base, the error by Jackson Holliday when he popped it and didn't run it out and almost got thrown out anyway. Lindor had a hit in each game. Obviously, Pete hit the home run in game one but did nothing after that. So it's down. Beatty had a good series too. Beatty had the clutch RBI hit that tied the game in game three before the Orioles pulled away at two hits in game one. Did make a crucial error, though. So it's between Brandon Nimmo and David Peterson. Look, I'll give it to Brandon Nimmo because he continues to be their most reliable offensive bat, even when the rest of the bats do nothing. He also started both games of the doubleheader with base hits and put his team in position to take an early lead. So honorable mention to David Peterson, but your Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series is number 9. Brandon Nimmo. As far as the net negative is concerned, a lot of emails suggesting it should be Carlos Mendoza. We don't do that. We got to pick a player, and the player is Ryan Stanek. Ryan has done this a lot. He's a multi winner of the net negative award that we hand out. But look, he comes in, he has a lead, and as much as it was frustrating to hear Carlos Mendoza say, hey, stop asking me about my bad decision. Let's talk about how everyone else sucked. Ryan Stanek did suck. And he's done this a lot this year. So I cannot disagree with a net negative award to Ryan Stanek. What is exciting is that they're going to get their starters back. Hopefully they pitch well. Kodai Senga will pitch the Friday game against the Royals, or in my case, it's a Saturday game because it starts at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then how they handle Sunday will be fascinating. Holmes and Manaea are both going to pitch, which I think is great. I didn't think they were going to do that with Clay. I thought they were going to be extra careful with him and not pitch him. So the fact that they are going to pitch him on regular rest, whether it's out of the bullpen, whether it's starting, it's going to be a shorter performance. But I love that they're doing that because back in the day, we saw that a lot, the final game before the All-Star break, where managers would say, hey, look, you know, final game before the All-Star break, I'll use one of my better starters out of the bullpen. This will be different because Manaea isn't completely stretched out, but it'll be good to have Manaea back, and it's good to actually have a series in which, whether you trust Montas or not, and why would you, or whether you even trust Senga or not, it's good. And by the way, you do trust Senga, just you don't, may not trust him to stay healthy or go deep into a game. It's good for the Mets to have a series in which they're using starting pitchers. That's cool. Instead of relying on bullpen games. And hopefully they can bounce back, because this was a buzzkill, man. You'll win the final two of the Brewers series. You'll win two out of three against the Yankees. You'll win the first game against the Orioles in dramatic fashion. So now you feel good about where you are. You're 5-1 in your last six games. And then this. And then this. So hopefully they can kind of cleanse themselves. They've got starting pitching edges in this series against the Royals because they are missing Bubich and they are missing Lugo. I could argue they have the starting pitching edge in every game of this series. Even if you want to give Michael Lorenzen the nod over Frankie Montas, it's close. So this is an important series to get to the All-Star break on a good note and really cleanse yourself from the bad series loss to the Orioles. And just feel good going into the break. And hopefully they do. Because these two games against the Orioles completely suck. They really did. I appreciate all the emails. TheRicoB@gmail.com. We will give you a Rico after the Royal Series is over. Which, that last game is a 2 o'clock game in New York. For me, that's an 8 o'clock game. That's not too bad. It's like Sunday night baseball. But I will tell you real quick. I've only been able to do it once because of the rainouts. When they play at 1 or 2 a.m., and I guess if I ever lived in Europe, this is what I would do. Wake up at 4 or 5, DVR, it's morning baseball. Because obviously staying up till 2, 3 a.m. watching a full baseball game is a lot. But next morning, 5 a.m., a little bagel, a little croissant in France. I'd say coffee, but I don't drink it. And you got your baseball. But this European trip has been a lot of fun, if you care. We went Paris, flew to Barcelona, drove from Barcelona to Ez, France, and then in 2 days we're going to go to Italy. We're going to drive from Ez to Venice and to Rome. So should be a lot of fun. This is my first time really experiencing Europe. I went to London briefly last year, saw the Met series, but this has been a real European experiment, that's for sure. And I've been driving, and I love this. I kind of love driving in Europe. I mean, the drive from Barcelona to Ez, I was all over it. And then we'll be going to Italy in a couple of days. So the next Rico Brogna will be live from Rome. And I will work on whether it's the full Rico Brogna, probably not, maybe recording some kind of Met video in front of the Colosseum. So we'll try to have some fun. But it's been a great trip. A lot of fun spending time with the family and watching some Mets, just a little bit. Anyhow, thank you very much for downloading the Rico Brogna. Of course, rate and subscribe it, and we will talk to you in a couple of days. If there's any need for an instant reaction, Hoff has got you. But thank you very much for listening to another European edition, episode 511 of Rico Brogna.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Brogna podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.